You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM on your dial. We are joined now by Heidi Abdel-Rauf, who is a social worker with 27 years of experience working in various roles across government, public health and community organisations. Her areas of special interests include working with refugees, asylum seekers and women at risk. Heidi is the Detention Casework Policy Lead at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, managing a service that provides casework and advocacy support to refugees and asylum seekers held in offshore detention. Good morning, Heidi. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Sorry.
A little technical issue there. Good morning, Heidi. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, you would have just missed this tremendous bio that I just delivered with exquisite elegance and grace. You heard it.
But
you did hear it. Excellent, excellent. So it's a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you so much.
So just to kick off the interview, can you tell listeners a bit about your role at the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre?
Sure. I manage a service that provides casework and advocacy to people in offshore detention on Nauru and Papua New Guinea. We assess people's welfare, monitor conditions of detention, escalate when there's a risk to a person's safety or health, and we advocate around human rights issues. I also do policy work to contribute to systemic change around detention policy.
Thanks. Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Heidi. Can I jump in with the next?
How about the next one? Just for reasons that we can't explain right now. But could you tell us a bit about the current situation for people in offshore in Nauru and PNG? You know, including the conditions of these offshore detention facilities. You know, talking about the sort of level of security, the extent to which people are surveilled, scrutinized, and control is exercised over the day-to-day lives of people in those detention centers.
Sure, I'll start with Nauru. So there remains a lack of transparency and accountability from the Australian government about the treatment conditions and plan for people seeking asylum on Nauru. But what we know is that there are around 100 people currently detained on Nauru. People have been there from 1 to 19 months. The vast majority are in the Nauru community, and recent arrivals are likely in closed detention. And the longer people remain there, the more deterioration of physical and mental health and risk to life situations they are experiencing. People are arbitrarily and indefinitely detained and given no information around timeframes for their detention. People have concerns about the fairness and transparency of the refugee determination process. Some people have already been recognised as refugees. However, there are currently no resettlement options available to them. People in the community are receiving $230 a fortnight to cover their basic needs, including food, drinking water and internet. And we know that this is a rate that has not increased for years, despite the rising cost of living on Nauru and also despite people's requests for an increase. Their requests have been ignored. People cannot afford to eat three meals a day and to buy fruit and vegetables and meat. And there are also ongoing issues with the lack of availability of rice and flour on Nauru. People are relying on things like fishing to supplement a lack of access to food. And with no access to clean drinkable water, people are relying on boiling water for safe drinking. People have reported living in substandard accommodation. And we know that people are suffering a host of physical and mental health conditions and a lack of adequate health care. So conditions such as hypertension, heart complaints, chronic pain conditions, dental issues, physical injuries, lacking in nutrition, weight loss, anxiety, depression, distress, and self-harm. We're seeing cases of people with persistent chest pain waiting months to see a cardiologist, cases of people waiting 6 months to see the dentist, We had a case where someone had an accident and suffered injury, and an ambulance was called but never came, and they had to hobble to get medical help. We've had cases where people are waiting indefinitely for an MRI because there's no MRI machine on Nauru. So it's really dreadful. We know that they have delayed access to specialist assessment and treatment, only limited access to dental care. There's no inpatient psych care facility and no after-hours or weekend primary care. People are heavily controlled and securitised and surveilled. They have security monitoring them the majority of the time. Their health records are made available to the Department of Home Affairs. The Nauru and Australian governments together decide and control whether medical transfers overseas can occur. When they're in close detention, they have limited lines of communication. Some people have reported having access to only brick phones with a direct line to security and health services, but no phone credit to contact overseas and speak with family, lawyers or support people. And people have also reported that communal computers have restricted access to certain websites, such as human rights organisations, including the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. I'll talk a bit about Papua New Guinea now. So the Australian government exiled more than 1,300 people to Manus Island Detention Centre in 2013. Mm-hmm. And nearly 12 years later, there are 37 refugees remaining, many with partners and children who are now in Port Moresby. These men have been subjected to long-term detention, family separation, human rights abuses, medical neglect, ongoing uncertainty. And as a result of all of this, the majority of people are extremely unwell and traumatised. Recently, they've suffered an enduring health and humanitarian crisis, and donations from generous Australians is what has kept them alive. People are suffering poor physical and mental health conditions, including heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and debilitating mental health. Last year, the Australian government struck a deal to provide some funding and capacity building support to the PNG government to retain, to reinstate some support to the refugees. The refugees have reported feeling pressured to sign on to this new program and to move accommodation. And they've raised concerns that the financial allowance being offered is inadequate to cover their basic needs, including accommodation, utilities, food, transport, healthcare, and medication. We all know that Port Moresby is the third most dangerous city in the world, and the refugees and their families have experienced violent attacks, thefts, and home invasions, and many fear for their lives and the safety of their children, and are too frightened to leave their accommodation. Refugees continue to have barriers to accessing healthcare, which is causing distress, physical and mental health deterioration, and that risk of loss of life. And resettlement for people has been really minimal and drawn out, and people are now becoming too unwell to engage in the process. The Greens recently tabled Medivac legislation in Parliament in an attempt to address the dire health crisis offshore and to place decisions about medical care in the hands of doctors and not politicians.
Well, Heidi, what we've just heard from you is appalling. People are facing a really serious situation in Nauru and in Papua New Guinea. I mean, it's a human rights disaster, and Australia is very much responsible for this human suffering. It's just interesting to kind of hear the conditions. Well, very sad to hear, because Nauru has been impoverished by colonialism, it doesn't really have the capacity to provide basic human needs, it's very low over there. And also, there is a history of Nauru being Australia's dumping ground for refugees. So we did want to ask you, because I remember it did close, the regional processing centre in Nauru was, it did shut down, or refugees were moved out in 2019, but then it was opened again, and then they started sending asylum seekers there. But yeah, we're just kind of wondering, what is the financial cost of keeping these offshore detention centres open?
Well, the cost is staggering. Since 2012, successive governments have spent over $13 billion on offshore processing. And in the 2025-26 budget, the Australian government has set aside $581 million for offshore processing. And if you think about the fact that there are around 100 people there, this works out to be almost $6 million per person detained. As I mentioned, people are not getting the services and support they need, and they can barely survive on the measly allowance of $230 a fortnight.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that. So we've just had the federal election come and go, and yeah, it is a strong majority government for Labor. Given the Albanese government's track record, what are some of the key post-election asks of the Labor government that you and the ASCR and other asylum seeker and refugee organisations will be making, and what can actually be expected for people held in offshore detention?
Sure. So I think, what we saw at the recent election was that voters rejected the politics of hate, extremism, fear and division towards refugees, asylum seekers and migrants. And people have given the Labor government a clear message for positive leadership and compassion. Now is the opportunity for the ALP to deliver on their platform commitments. They must take action around detention and do four key things. Firstly, medically evacuate people held offshore, including family members, to safety in Australia for urgent medical treatment. Secondly, find resettlement solutions, including in Australia, and resettle people swiftly. Thirdly, they must, end this cruel and unnecessary policy of offshore processing. And number four, establish a royal commission to provide truth-telling and justice for refugees and hold the Australian government accountable for systemic and human rights abuses. In terms of what refugees and people seeking asylum can expect, I think that remains to be seen. It's time for the government to do the right thing.
Yeah, and Heidi, it just goes to show, you were talking about the atrocious amount of money being spent on keeping these detention centres open and torturing refugees in these offshore detention camps, when they absolutely can, the government can afford to bring them here make sure that they have safe and secure lives here. And instead of bringing them here and putting them on dreadful temporary visas, they can actually just give them permanent permanency and take them out of the terrible limbo that some of them have been facing for decades. We are coming to the end of the interview, but I guess we also wanted to, maybe ask you about some of your thoughts on how more people can sort of support refugees who are being thrown into detention camps. I mean, we are seeing a lower number of refugees in those camps. Like you said before, there used to be thousands, and now I think you said 37 in PNG, 11, and I think you said 11 in Nauru. I hope I got those numbers right.
100.
100, sorry.
Yeah.
Ah, 100. Okay. I've written it incorrectly. That is still a substantial amount of people, and it always has the capacity. Like, there, if it's kept open, you know, if the infrastructure is still there, people can still be thrown in there. So I guess, you know, what can listeners do to show solidarity and, you know, try to shut these detention centres down and also just get involved in the broader fight for justice for refugees?
Sure. So people can go to the ASRC website, which is asrc.org.au, and there is a Take Action page, and people can sign on to a petition to demand that the Labor government evacuate people seeking asylum and refugees from offshore to Australia for medical treatment and prioritises them for resettlement.
Well, thank you so much for that, Heidi, and thank you so much for joining us on Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM on your dial. It's been an absolute pleasure, despite
and for
how
all your
gruesome.
Work, all the work you do as
yeah,
well.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So we hope you enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. Heidi.